History of Fun, where we explore the hidden backstories of the things you love. My name is Russ Frushick. Today I'm joined by Chris Plant.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
How you doing?
How's your holiday season going?
It's, you know, Jingle Bellin.
Like Magellan?
Yep, that's what it's like.
Okay. And I'm also joined by Allegra Frank, our expert for the day. Welcome, Allegra.
Hello, thank you. I don't know if you saw the face I made when you opened the show, but the volume on my computer was very high. Now yeah, I'm deaf.
I did redline it a little bit, but you know what? It's enthusiasm, and I'm fighting a cold right now, so I'm trying to like power through the cold with just like pure volume. I hope the people at home didn't, you know, drive their cars off the road in fear. I'm
at
sure everything's
home?
Great.
That's
you know, at home, like in La La Land, in Radio
Land. Jumped into their cars and then drove them off the road.
Allegra, what are we talking about today?
Apparently, this curious logic of yours. So we're going to talk about a little thing I enjoy. It's short and sweet, but I think that's appropriate because it's the little dreidel.
A literal little thing.
Little dreidel that we made out of clay. It is very small. So Hanukkah just ended, actually, as of this episode. It ended. It's over now. So we're going to just go back very briefly to one of my personal favorite holidays and one of my personal favorite traditions of that holiday, which is playing the dreidel during Hanukkah. So I think a lot of people probably know the Hanukkah story. I don't want to make assumptions, but I will give a very, very brief version.
Can I take a stab at it?
Yes. Actually, I would love to hear your version of it.
Okay. So, a little background. I am not a religious... I am a Jewish person, but I am not a religious Jewish person. I did go to Hebrew school when I was very young and was bar mitzvahed when I was 13 years old and basically haven't done anything generally religious since.
Wow.
So, all of this knowledge that I gleaned really came from moments of my early youth, and now we're talking about like 20 years later. So if I can remember anything, it's kind of a feat. But here's what I remember about Hanukkah. Okay, so there's Maccabees, and they're fighting other folks who do not like the Maccabees. And they're fighting, and at one point, the Maccabees and their friends are kind of like pushed back into the temple, right? Mm-hmm. And the friends are like, oh, we have to use these candles for prayer, but we only have enough candles for one night. So that's bad. But it turns out they lasted much longer than that. And suddenly a minor holiday is born. And I say minor because I do know for a fact that Hanukkah is considered to be a pretty minor Jewish holiday that has since become a much bigger thing because it's the only exceptionally like commercial Jewish holiday right now. Not to be cynical, but that's all I know about Hanukkah.
Wait, were you asked what is Hanukkah, or were you asked to explain what a dreidel is?
Hanukkah. He's
okay.
I was worried for a second.
This is a long glass of water that we're just not going to get the water.
So we're
how that ties
the dreidel
to dreidel?
Today. Russ, please explain what the dreidel is instead of me.
Okay, it's a top. Cool. At the end of episode, it's a top.
I mean, yes.
How close was I to the Hanukkah story?
I think that's pretty good. I have the even more streamlined version because I also am not super religious at all. I'm not technically Jewish.
Maccababy's got to do what a Maccababy's got to do.
Yeah, I mean, everything is all from Rugrats, basically.
Yeah, basically, pretty much everything I know is from Rugrats. But this will tie in very briefly to the Hanukkah story. So there are two sort of versions of the history of the dreidel, and one is very specifically about Hanukkah. So we're going to start there, and then we're going to go to the other version of the story. And I'll let you guys tell me what you think is the true history here. So the sort of accepted popular version of the history of the dreidel game is that back in the day, the I don't want to pronounce it the Seleucids, the people who basically took over Judea, which is like the Greeks, essentially. They, you know, took over and they outlawed Judaism. That sucks.
Do you think that's who the Maccabees were fighting?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yes. So they outlawed Judaism. It was bad. It sucked. And a big part of that was that Jews could no longer read the Torah, right? Which is essentially their Bible, because the Greeks were anti-Semitic. And so the whole thing was, no, we're barring you from, you know, we're banning your religion. We are anti. So this did lead to the revolt with the Maccabees, you know, trying to fight for the freedom, the religious freedom of the Jews, as seen in the lovely Rugrats Hanukkah special. And essentially, while this was all going on and they weren't allowed to read the Torah, there were some especially loyal people who wanted to make sure that the sort of tradition of the religion carried on. So while they were like fighting the Greeks and trying to, you know, reclaim their religious stake over Judea and, you know, basically get their freedom back. This is like the most streamlined version of the Hanukkah story. But there were some people who were still trying to teach like from the Torah and still read the Torah in sort of secluded areas like caves and whatnot. And it wasn't
which is very difficult because the Torah is very large.
Yeah. They would just
you can't
carry
like smuggle that in your pocket.
A huge Torah. So it would be like, you know, older folks who are, you know, well versed in the Torah and Hebrew and that sort of thing. And then they would bring younger kids to make sure, okay, let's not let Judaism die.
Okay.
And while they were doing this, you know, there was still a fear that, okay, what if, you know, the Greeks come find us and then we get in trouble and we, you know, get what they're bringing to us because we're breaking the rules. So the way that they would save themselves in case they were found out, is if the Greeks were coming, if they kind of suspected that they were about to be found in their, you know, secluded hiding areas, they would find a way to just whip this Torah out of sight, throw it behind a rock or something, which, again, sounds very difficult.
Okay.
Again, this is the sort of lore here.
Sure.
And they would whip out a dreidel instead. So everyone would start playing with dreidels. And
so
the Greeks would come in and be like, what are you guys doing playing dreidel in a cave?
And probably wouldn't say dreidel.
They were like, why are you playing dreidel? And they were like, why do you know why it's called a dreidel? And
then so basically, like, it was like when you imagine like the Prohibition bars where like the cops come in and like the bar like turns around and suddenly there's like a pet store instead. Mm-hmm. This is that version. So instead of a pet store, there's just dreidels.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Which is an interesting scheme, I guess. It looked very, you know, unassuming and simple. And the kids.
Was dreidel the CeeLo of its day?
What? CeeLo?
You know, the dice game that people play and the gamble over it? Like, I'm trying to imagine why it would be reasonable for this to be a decent.
The singer.
I thought you meant CeeLo Green.
Yeah.
No. It's a dice game that people play. So I'm trying to imagine why it would be like a reasonable cover to be playing like 30 people playing dreidel. But then when you think of like street dice games, there's like a bunch of people hanging around. Or even in a casino, if you're playing craps, there's a bunch of people hanging around and getting very excited. Mm-hmm. So the question is, would you have that same sort of reaction?
Like, would it be a spectator game?
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. And that will be more apparent when we get into sort of the other version of the origins.
Oh,
it definitely is. It's not the simple kind of like cute game that we grew up playing where it's you and your brother or sister like fighting for guilt.
Yeah.
I mean, you basically can apply the same rules, which we'll get to like gambling essentially.
Sure.
So it was sort of like, you know, everyone's playing a gambling-esque game here. So
I mean, it's straight up gambling. Like
it is, yeah. It is pretty much gambling. So it was like not especially strange for people to come in and see a bunch of people playing with this little top, even though that sounds odd for people to be in a cave. So again, this sounds sort of like, you know, secular, I suppose, in the sense that it's just, you know, they're reading the Torah, they throw it away when the Greeks come by, and then they're playing a game that seems to have nothing to do with Judaism.
Sure, they probably lightly placed it.
They literally throw the Torah against the wall. Everyone's like, oh God. They throw their yarmulkes.
We're gonna need another one.
Everything off. But actually, something that was kind of nice about the dreidels was, so they have the Hebrew letters on the four sides, right?
Yes.
And so the part of what the rabbis and the people who were sort of teaching, you know, the Torah and trying to make sure that the kids would learn Hebrew and just the people sort of fighting this revolution to keep Judaism alive would suggest that, okay, these four letters reference these four different empires that are sort of trying to get at Israel to sort of remind you of Israel's strength. So the four different letters, they said, referenced Babylon, Persia, Greece, and the Roman Empire.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, with Greece being the, you know, the sort of current one that is after Israel and the Jews. So there was a little, like, you know, relevant Judaic touch there. And the other interpretation of the four letters was, I can't pronounce this because I am a bad, not really Jew, but essentially it's the phrase, a great miracle happened there, sort of an abbreviation for that phrase, which is N-G-H-S are the four letters of that phrase.
Hmm.
And those are the four Hebrew letters on the dreidel. So that
was... How much of this do you think is like stuff that was just like made to fit hundreds of years later?
Well, here's the thing, Russ. In this was sort of an idea that was perpetuated in the 19th century, in the late 1890s.
Okay.
So again, this is all sort of apocryphal, I would call it. It's hard to really have, you know, hardcore concrete, you know, knowledge or evidence that this is the true story. But essentially, like in the, you know, pre-modern era, I would say, or the modern era, really, the rabbis who were sort of explaining, like, oh, yeah, we can play dreidel at, you know, the temple. You know, let's give you guys a reason why we're doing this other than we don't want to deal with you really excited kids with too much energy right now. So they'd be like, yeah, you know, these letters mean this. And this is actually a reminder of our strength as Jews. But really, it's just that you kids won't shut up and you really want to go home from, you know, from school.
Makes you think it would have made more sense to just have a holiday tradition that's just like wind sprints. Like just have kids run back and forth the fastest they can. And then the rest of it is just kicking back.
Let's start it now.
Come on.
It should be like, okay, on Christmas Eve, the tradition is all the kids have to just stay in their rooms all day.
No, they have to shovel all the snow and then they're really tired. It's great.
Santa only comes if you shovel all the snow and clean the house. So essentially,
a lot of snow where the Maccabees were.
Yes.
So essentially, this was all going on during the, you know, events that led to Hanukkah, where we, you know, have the menorah and we have the oil. I don't want to sound flippant about this. It's very important. It was all happening during the Hanukkah era, which is how dreidel became so closely tied to Hanukkah specifically, because this is the thing that they were doing while they were fighting to rededicate their temple, their very sacred temple that the Greeks had taken over and made a secular temple. And so when, you know, the Jews were hanging out in there, burning the menorah for 8 days, in between, they were playing dreidel.
May I add a wrinkle? Would it be rude if I added a wrinkle?
Please.
Historically.
Yes.
And this is very complicated, and it's okay that it's complicated. There is more and more research, I guess not research, historical work into like what actually happened here and what this would be based off of.
Mm-hmm.
And one camp now thinks that it was the Maccabees were more traditional. I would say not more traditional, profoundly traditional Jews who wanted the theocratic state. And a lot of this war was actually between them and Hellenized Jews. Mm-hmm. And it was also the Greek government, but basically because it had gotten away from being a religiously controlled state, that there was like a lot of people in the cities who were Hellenized Jews who were like eating pork and not doing a different circumcision procedure at birth. And
that, circumcision like, B.
What? Well, they weren't doing the entire process. They were not having the rabbi.
I understand.
But then, like, that had created, like, a conflict between the pastoral or rural Maccabees, who were more traditional, and then, like, the more less traditional Jews in the city. And then the Greeks basically, like, forced a hand. So it's this weird kind of like three direction struggle, which is like very weird because it's you think of it as this very the Jews are fighting for, you know, not just independence, but strength. But that it was also it may have been if this is the same moment that, you know, more and more people are looking into, that it was actually them asserting their strength, not just against the Greek government, but against some of their own people.
If they were indeed super religious, they wouldn't even consider the others Jews
exactly.
at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which could go all the way to today. So, yeah. But yeah, it's very, I don't know. I wanted to throw it in just because I don't want to fully make it just the Greeks who are guilty here.
Yes. Why? The question I have is, why did none of that come up during the Rugrats episode?
That's you know, true. I'm going to guess that they just couldn't figure out who would play the Hellenized Jews.
Maybe Reptar, I think, would be a good...
Yeah,
because, you know, he likes pork.
Or is maybe Chucky?
Yeah, you think Chucky? Chucky's a Maccabee through and through.
They could have Phil be one and Lil be the other.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That'd be good.
That would have been great.
That would have been very good.
That would have been... Well, actually... Oh, wait, this isn't the story also about Grandpa and his, like, rival, too? About one of them who wants to have control of the religious ceremony and the other
it's
one
been
who
too
wants
long.
A role?
Oh, that would be the other Grandpa.
Yeah.
I think Phil and Lil's Grandpa.
Yeah. No, not Phil. It's been too long. I have done a real bad, and I am taken away from this episode by directing us into the maw of Nicktoons. Please take us back to everything that is good and holy, Allegra. I am sorry.
Dang, now we have to rewatch that episode and figure this out later, and then create our own headcanon of who should be the Jews in Rugrats. Okay, so Plant, just as you sort of suggest that, like, there is a lot of, you know, there are a lot of wrinkles in that history because it's very hard to know and to tell. I mean, obviously, historians are doing a lot of the work to figure out, like, back then, what was going on? What led to the events of Hanukkah and reconstituting the state and such? Which is why this version of the dreidel history is a little bit more tenable, I think, for me. I think it makes a little more sense. It's actually completely divorced from religion and Judaism entirely. And I think it's just a little more simple, considering that we could think of dreidel as a game and not really necessarily a religious totem, other than the fact that we play it during Hanukkah. So, the other version of the history is that the dreidel actually started in English-speaking countries and is a Christmastime event, which is sort of ironic that it wasn't inherently Christian, right? But it literally would be like, oh, it's Christmas, time to bring out the dreidel, which is not at all what we think now. So
really stepped into the sacrilege puddle of this episode, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
So just to confirm, what year are you saying this happened around about? Like, how far back?
So this was like in the late Roman period, I have.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So very early on.
Sure.
Yeah. So in England and Ireland, they had this little top called the totem. And they had four letters on it, which were T, H, P, and N. And those were basically abbreviations for the rules, which would basically be like take, put in, nothing, or half, which we'll get into again, because that's sort of like how it ended up with the letters on.
It was like an old-timey bop it.
Yes. So basically, we'll talk about like how dreidel works in a second when we get to the more modern version we recognize. But it was a top that had the abbreviations for its own rules on it. And people would essentially play it like what we were saying of like, you know, for gambling purposes. So even though it was played at Christmas time by kids, it was also played a lot by older men in bars. And this especially became true when it left from England and Ireland and ended up in Germany. So Germany is actually sort of the place where it really became popularized. And really, that's sort of where the version that then came over to the Jews and now to, you know, secular Americans and Western folks and everybody. This is where that version showed up. So they renamed it the T-Totem, and they put the letters for, which is, you know, just a very slight change.
The Germans did or the British people did?
The Germans. So for the British people, it was totem. So they called it briefly the T-Totem, but also the Trendle in German.
Mm.
So that was more of the common name, the Trendle.
The Trendle.
Yes, which sounds quite similar to dreidel, right?
Sort of.
It sounded like
trundle.
Dreidel. So they took the letters for trundle. They took the letters, the original letters on the sort of English language version, and they reappropriated them for the equivalent German words. So they changed the letters to S, N, G, and H to be on the four sides to represent the rules. So that was, I do not want to speak German. I'm just not feeling the foreign languages today, but S was for put in. So that was like, you put in all of your, whatever you're playing with, money or geld or whatever, beans, N for nothing, G for whole or everything, which means you take everything that's in the pot, and then H for half. So you take like half of what's in there.
Maybe at this point, we should probably explain the like overall.
Yeah.
Because so, there's like a whole ante system and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right? So basically, like everyone puts in whatever they want to put in into this pot. So if you're playing with gelt, let's say, I don't know, we all have 10 pieces of gelt. I'll put in 5, whatever. You guys put in however many you want to put in. And then we take turns spinning the top. And then based off whatever letter you get, that's what you do.
But I think it needs to be the equal amount. I don't think you can, I don't think there's like uneven betting in dreidel.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Because if someone bet $1 and won everything because everyone else put in $50, that wouldn't be very
yeah,
fair.
You're right. It's everyone puts in the same amount.
Okay.
I think I'm going back to as a kid where my cousins who were like actually Jewish, they would tell me like, yeah, you just put in like all of your gelt and we'll put in one piece and we'll see how this goes. And then they wouldn't explain to me what the letters meant. And I'd be like, what does this mean? It means we take all of this.
That is the true meaning of Hanukkah, is scamming your family members out of candy.
It was very sad. That was all I would get for Hanukkah, and then they would just take it all away. It's okay. So, yeah. Yes, Russ, you explained it exactly right. So that was obviously a, you know, it lends itself extremely well to gambling. It is gambling.
It is
so
gambling.
So drunk German guys were very into it. And so just as it sort of, like, carried on from Ireland to Germany, it keeps moving on west. So eventually it makes it to the Jewish people, the Yiddish-speaking Jewish people specifically. And this was sort of during a time when Yiddish was more commonly spoken than Hebrew. So it started out with the letters being like Yiddish letters or Yiddish words for the Hebrew words. So it very much was like, again, still sort of divorced from religion, even when it made its way to the Jewish people. Mm. It was still more of this secular thing. And then as Hebrew began to sort of become more, I guess, popularized or become more commonly spoken, then, you know, the rabbis were starting to reclaim it as, no, these letters actually stand for these religious things, as opposed to, no, it's actually just the Yiddish words for the same German words that the drunk people were using to explain how to play this game. Oof. So then, yeah, that kind of brings us to where dreidel is now, essentially. But it became more popular here sort of more recently, 1920-ish, like in the 50s. There were kids who were playing it in the 20s, generally like immigrants, like Jewish immigrants in America, who were still playing it as a gambling game. And it wasn't just the Jewish kids, but it was popular with kids, you know, in immigrant-heavy areas, I would say. Mm-hmm. And then by the 50s, we were trying to commercialize Hanukkah more to make it, you know, sort of akin to Christmas in a sense of, like, this is a time when all of you people should be buying things. Dreidel was sort of a thing, like, you know, a fun, like, oh, it's Hanukkah, everybody go buy a dreidel and gelt and presents and cutesy menorahs.
I should mention gelt is chocolate coins.
Yes.
Wrapped in gold.
In like, gold yes. leaf, yeah.
Yeah.
But yes. It's chocolate. It's just chocolate.
It's very good because it's just chocolate. It's just brown chocolate. So really great. So yeah, that's sort of where the two sides of the dreidel history story lie.
Yeah, I think the second one rings a little truer to me.
Yeah.
The first one's a little outlandish. And the second one, it being like, because that's what we've learned throughout this whole season of like holiday traditions is that someone's always doing something and someone's like, hey, that's a good idea. Can we incorporate it into our thing to make our thing even better?
Mm-hmm. And it all goes back to Coney Island, where it's like, not only are we going to steal that thing, but we're going to create a story that says we invented it like 100 years earlier.
Literally, yes. Literally, yes. Because it wasn't until like the 1890s when the rabbis were kind of saying, yes, no, it's a sacred religious text in
secret.
Definitely
our thing.
Yes. But actually, it was drunk Irishmen. Which is how that goes.
I do want to mention, I don't know if are you going to talk about the song at all?
Yes.
Allegra? Oh, okay. I don't want to step on your
Are you
going to
sing the song?
I'm not going to sing the song.
Is Fresh
going
to sing the song?
I hope so. That's definitely a Fresh thing.
Is it?
Is that what you're going to offer? It's really cool that you were going to offer to sing the song right before I explained talking about the song.
Dreidel, 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 I will play. Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. I made it out of clay.
And?
And when it's dry and ready, oh, dreidel, I will play. It's something to that effect.
Nailed
I'm worried that I'm going to have to pay Mildred and Patty Hill for this.
Okay.
I might have goofed that.
You
I do want to mention, I don't know if you've ever made anything out of clay.
Mm-hmm.
A very accurately weighted top seems like one of the hardest things you could possibly make out of clay, and I definitely wouldn't give that job to a child.
Yeah, no, I've never done that, but it seems miserable.
It's a different time.
Okay, so the dreidel song, as Russ sang sort of incorrectly, but you got the tune.
Wow.
It was made by two guys named Sam, Sam Goldfarb and Sam Grossman, and this is a sort of quick aside, but it's kind of a sad one. So it
classic
was,
Allegra.
Yes, it was written in 1927.
Got on a water slide. Sorry.
There's no death involved, though. So it was written in 1927 when, as I mentioned before, dreidel was sort of popular in America with Jewish kids and also just immigrants and other kids. So Sam Goldfarb, who's a Jew and, you know, knows it's the dreidel, not calling it any trendle or top or whatever. He makes this cute little song about the dreidel with his, you know, lyricist, Sam Grossman. So here's the thing,
really,
though.
You couldn't share that job, but with one person? You needed a dedicated lyricist for the dreidel song?
He needs a lyricist. So here's the thing. Everyone loves the dreidel song. You know, it's pretty, it's not like a huge radio hit, obviously. It's 1927, but it carries on. It's, you know, people like it. People know it. So Goldfarb, having, you know, riding this high sort of like, yeah, I made the dreidel song. Yeah, I'm rolling in it now, baby. 2 years later, he has like a family, right? 2 years later, he runs off to Seattle. He's from New York, right? So he runs off to Seattle with a new wife, a younger woman, just ditches the family, goes to be a musical director at a synagogue, teaching all of those people the dreidel song. Meanwhile, his family back in New York is devastated. They never see him again. They just hear this dreidel song and they think of their dad. It's actually very sad. But now his son Myron Gordon, who literally like wanted nothing to do with his dad, So he changed his last name, is how dramatic this was. He was sort of, years later, this was pretty recently in 2016, he was like, you know, I've had this really troubled relationship with my dad these whole years, but he rediscovered like a bunch of his dad's old recordings, including the Dreidel song. And he was like, I'm going to look through these. And through doing that, it sort of reminded him of the good times with his dad and, you know, the sort of nice legacy that he left, which was the Dreidel song. And he was like, I'm going to put these back out so people actually know who made the Dreidel song. And he said it was sort of like a therapy for him, which was kind of sweet, even though it's...
How old is this guy?
So this was when he was 96, I think.
Wow. Okay, I was going to say, because his dad wrote the Dreidel song in 1927, you said?
Yeah. He's very old. So he spent his whole life just mourning his dad.
That's pretty sad.
So then finally the Dreidel song helped him connect with his family.
I like the idea that someone would run off with a younger wife and become the musical director of a temple. Like, that was his dream.
Yeah. He would teach all of them the Dreidel song.
Oh, well. And you know what? It spread across the world. It lives on to this day.
Mm-hmm. Just as it was meant to be sung. Trindle, trindle, trindle.
Teetotum.
Teetotum.
And it was featured in Inception.
Oh, my God. Right? The totem, yes. That was essentially a dreidel.
Or I mean, it was just the top. It was just the top.
Could also just be a top. So, okay, yes, the dreidel is still popular. It still rules. It's still gambling. However, in the mid-2000s, there were some people who were like, this is kind of boring. I think we got to juice up the dreidel. Mm-hmm. So we have two people who come around trying to fancy up the dreidel here. So first we have a woman whose name, I need to get her first name, because I only have her last name, which is Roberts.
I just like the idea of spicing it up. Like I just picture the Mad Men born room and then like holding up a picture of the dreidel and like, what are we going to do here? How are we going to make people love the dreidel again?
A fifth side.
A fifth side.
Is it like a razor company where you're just adding different every few years? Oh, we added a new side to the dreidel. It's going to be huge.
So basically... Oh, Jenny Roberts is her name. In 2007, she was like, yeah, it's kind of boring. Here's actually what she said. Regular dreidel is a pretty boring game, and it's got to the point where not only do Jewish people know that dreidel is a boring game, but everyone knows dreidel is a boring game.
Got him.
Okay. So what she did was she came up with No Limit Texas Dreidel, which is like No Limit Texas Hold'em poker, if you recall from that episode, but with a dreidel. So she sells kits that are No Limit Texas Dreidel. You can buy them because that's all.
There must be like a lot more to the rules than just like being able to bet anything.
Texas Dreidel. I just want to really highlight and underline and bold.
So the way it works, by the way, it's an entertaining adult party game, fun for everyone ages 9 to 99. Says Jenny. Sure. I don't know why you have to be 9. But yes, so the objective is for everyone to have the best dreidel hand by combining dreidel spins. You combine them in a shaker, which only you will see, with other community spins, which will be seen by all players. It sounds very overly complicated.
Kind of sounds like Boggle or Yahtzee.
Yeah, but then it's also poker. So
yeah,
that's someone thinking that's a more fun version of dreidel. But then there's actually a legitimately fun version of dreidel made by Eric Pavoni in 2006. He decided, you know what, dreidel's cool, but we can make dreidel cooler. And he said, if you go to Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah or even Passover, it can be a bit much for someone who isn't aware of Jewish customs. But Hanukkah, and especially the dreidel, is a great way to introduce people to it. It's turned a lot of people on to learning more about Judaism. So in his quest to help people learn about Judaism, he comes up with Major League Dreidel, which is a game that you play in this sort of, it's not like an arena, like sort of like a, my only comparison is a Beyblade thing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes. Okay, so
yeah, the
like.
Spinning, it's like a little plastic like field and they spin at one another.
Yes, exactly. And he calls it a spinagogue. So basically,
that's very clever.
What you do to play Major League Dreidel is you spin the dreidel in the spinagogue, and whoever like, is able to get the dreidel to spin for the longest amount of time wins. And this is
now,
major
wait, isn't that
that's
already
where
a game?
I
like Battle Tops.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. It's like Battle Tops from our era for the oldies. Now, I feel like you don't need a spinagogue to determine who can spin a dreidel for longer. There must be other elements to it.
I mean, so basically it didn't even have the spinagogue at first, and it was literally just people playing with dreidels and just getting really drunk, he said, and seeing who would spin it the longest. It's very dumb, but he also calls himself the conditioner, which I hate. So literally it's just like he calls it competitive dreidel. It was sort of a goof, obviously.
Yeah.
But it became popular, like, with people in Brooklyn. It started in Brooklyn, which makes sense to me. But they would play it on tables, and then, you know, the top kind of falls off the table, right?
Yeah, so you need a spinagogue.
That's why they need a spinagogue. So it's just sort of an organized, like, dreidel game, because that's kind of how a lot of people play dreidel, I think, sometimes, because it's a top. So the record was 17.88 seconds that someone was able to keep the top spinning.
That seems very low.
It's pretty low, because everyone is drunk and it's not that serious. But he is selling spinagogues now, and people think this is a fun new way to play the dreidel, which kind of just points to the fact of, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But it is broke, because everyone had to fix it.
I would say that it points to the, maybe it's not that fun.
For me, I'm like, no, dreidel's perfect. Sounds great on its own.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Mm. So now we're at the best part, as always, is the world records.
Oh, boy. So, well, we already heard 14 seconds. 17 seconds. I'm sorry.
Okay. So I have two records for you guys. And then one last record that I think is hilarious.
Are we going to guess at estimates?
Okay. You're going to guess. Actually, two of these records are very dumb, and then one of them is serious. So the world record for the most dreidels being spun at once actually was
actually pretty good.
Yeah. That was just broken on November 30th of this year.
Wow.
By the kids at the Rosenbaum Yeshiva of North Jersey.
Oh, kids. So multiple people can do it at once.
Right.
Oh, yes. Okay. Suddenly not as cool.
Still like a level of coordination required. Although I don't know how you fact check that to see, like, if you've got 300 people there spinning dreidels, like, are you going to know if one of them falls?
That really,
I mean,
is,
it's just
like
how many are spinning at once.
Isn't that just how many people we could get to show up in a room? Like, there's
it's
no challenge
kind of that.
Also known as every Guinness World Record.
Yeah, but if it was like how many dreidels spinning at once by one spinner.
That would be a good record.
That would be cool. But you know what? Listen, we already understand dreidel's not the hippest thing around.
Sure.
Give it what we could give it. So how many people...
Can you double fist the dreidels?
How many people were spinning dreidels at once?
Oh, is it people or is it dreidels?
Well, it's
each person has one dreidel, yes.
But that's what I'm saying, is I didn't know if you could double fist the dreidels.
You cannot double fist the dreidel.
This week on The Gray Area, writer Derek Thompson makes his case that everything has become a cult. Well, almost everything. Is Taylor Swift the closest thing we have to a mass cult today?
I think she's the closest thing we have to Christianity. It's me.
Find out if you're in a cult this week on The Gray Area, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay.
So how many dreidels were spinning?
450 dreidels.
Yeah, okay. It feels like it should be something like 3,000 or something. It seems so easy to get a really high number.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling that it's actually going to be sad, and it will be 1,200.
Okay. Plant, you're way closer. It was 1,369 kids.
I was so close.
You were very close.
Good work.
Yes, and also how sad that, like, that's as many as they could get. We can break that. We can break that.
We definitely can. It actually is, like, a very sad but very cute story where it's just, like, all these kids got really excited to take, like, 5 minutes to go and spin a dreidel really quickly.
Aww.
I mean, I guess that's cute.
That is pretty charming.
The kids were, like, freaking out. Like, we're going to break a record. But the sad note is that no one from Guinness was there, so it's not, like, an official record.
What?
Why
it's not
even
a record.
Matter? Yeah, like, none of their stuff is real.
Right, exactly.
It's all so silly. They can just let these kids have joy.
Yes, this is very true.
You know, I broke the Guinness World Record for jumping the highest, but no one was there. But I definitely did it.
No, guys. I believe it. I believe it as much as I believe the actual Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, I buy it. Okay, so the last two dreidel records I found are extremely weird. There's a really weird website called, like, Record Setter, and it's my new favorite thing because I think people can just really add any record they want, and it's amazing. So here are two that I found that I love. Someone recorded the most digits of pi recited during a single spin of a dreidel while blindfolded on Pi Day.
I feel like the blindfold aspect does not come into play at all.
Literally, that was one of the top records for dreidels.
Wow, that's sad.
I kind of want you guys to guess how many digits, but maybe that legitimizes this too much. But this kid recited...
I would guess 45 digits.
Okay. What about you, Plant, in a single spin?
44.
It was 81 digits of pi.
Ah, dang.
That's kind of impressive.
Not confirmed, right? No Guinness person was there, right?
No, but he posted a little video.
Oh, because my record was 89. Boom. Add it.
Okay. The other record that was on this website, which I also love. I will not make you guys guess this one because it's incredibly dumb. At Asa H's bar mitzvah party, and this is exactly what it says. At Asa H's bar mitzvah party, Jack S. tapped a hacky sack with a dreidel 97 times in 20 seconds. # Asa bar mitzvah.
Wait, is that a math problem?
No, that's the record.
Wait, I don't even understand. What?
Okay, what was the record? Because the pseudonyms of the people confused me.
Okay, so, a hacky sack. We all know what a hacky sack is.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, so he was tapping, he spun a dreidel.
Okay.
There's a video. Uh-huh. Oh my god. No, he wasn't even spinning the dreidel. I think I'm watching the video. This is very upsetting. So basically they were timing him for 20 seconds, and he's just beating a dreidel into a hacky sack. He's holding a dreidel and a hacky sack.
No.
And just beating it into the hacky sack for 20 seconds.
So you're telling
me
this
is a world record.
Reader.
Well, that is a terrible record. You are right, Allegra. Well done. Good call on that, how bad that record was. I don't even know what to say.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of where we're at. Ace of Bar Mitzvah is a hashtag here. And he pretty much populates the hacky sack. dreidel records. So that sort of tells you about the state of the dreidel in 2018.
Sure.
Terrible. Things couldn't be worse.
That's what the 13-year-olds do at bar mitzvahs now.
Well, is that it, Allegra? Or do we have a reader-only memories?
God, I forgot to send the reader-only memories and realized that. But I can share my memory.
Okay, that's good. It will be a host-only memory section this week.
And I would love to hear your memories of dreidel, if you
have
them.
Haze.
So when I was in middle school, I got very into dreidel again. And we would play it during Hanukkah at lunch. And we got a bunch of people really into it, which was actually really fun. And we basically just, like, in the cafeteria had, like, it was pretty much exactly as you would do in, you know, the old days, or if you were a drunk Irishman, and we would just all be gathered around the table just spinning the dreidel, even though none of us really we weren't Jewish, we just had a dreidel for some reason, and we played dreidel for literally like a week straight.
Was there gambling involved?
There was actually no game. I think we had like Pokemon cards or something.
Oh, the ones you stole?
Yeah, because we were cool. So we just kind of gambled with Pokemon cards or like cookies or something, whatever. And it was actually a very fun way to get people to sort of think about Hanukkah. I will say that is actually sort of legitimately true, because I can't think of like a game that I specifically play at Christmas, you know? Like, there isn't like something that simple.
Yeah, because Christmas is already by default fun.
They don't
Everything
need
about
anything.
Christmas is like all upside. Hanukkah, you really need to work for it. Now, granted, I think people like fire. I don't personally like fire. Mm-hmm. Some people like fire. So that's kind of a draw. And then you have a game. I think the game needs a little more pop, a little more panache right now, but sure. I get it. But yeah, Christmas doesn't need any help. It's fine.
Hanukkah really
needs help. It's got a magic red man who comes down a chimney and gives you presents. What more do you need?
I was always a big dreidel person, and I still am.
I imagine the red man coming down the chimney. And like,
you have red
I've got
man,
a great new song.
Red and
the
Method
whole Wu-Tang
man.
Clan comes down your chimney.
Method Man comes down your chimney on Hanukkah. That's what we get. I've always had a weird personal affection for the dreidel. It's just like you can carry it around, and it's a little game.
I do like the size of it. It is the harmonica of holiday traditions.
Exactly. Did you really not play dreidel ever?
I definitely did, but it never appealed to me because of how paltry the potential winnings were. Because we'd get like a dollar in pennies, and the fact that I won 12 cents playing dreidel was like, from an ROI perspective, not very good.
Do you think being a video game kid ruined you in that way? Because I always felt the same
way.
Well,
maybe.
Everything I wanted was like $60, right?
Yeah.
I didn't want a $10 or a $5 right. action figure. So I always was thinking like, well, it's a million miles towards my end goal. You know, I got to think
well,
bigger.
And it's also with Hanukkah, at least the way we celebrated Hanukkah, I think this is sort of common, is that you'd get like very small, crappy gifts for 7 nights. And then on the 8th night, you'd get like whatever you actually wanted, the equivalent of like the dream Christmas gift. So that would be like a video game, for example. But the rest of the 8 nights, you'd get like, here's a candle snuffer. Here's one sock.
So
we'll
like
give you the next sock the next day.
One crazy night and 7 not so crazy nights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they need to change the movie title, really.
Got it.
7 not so crazy nights.
Well, thank you. Oh, well, I do want to ask Chris Plant, did you ever play Hanukkah growing up? Or have
did
you played
play the game of Hanukkah?
I mean, in a weird way, that is also probably appropriate because growing up as a Catholic kid in the suburbs of Kansas City, it's effectively what would happen in our school when it would be, we would learn about the various holidays and we would have an assembly where they would like have 5 like giant wooden circles with their like holiday iconography painted onto them.
Sure. Yeah.
And it was always strange because I'm sure like 95% of the kids there identified it as like non-denominational Christian. I think I was like, oh, Catholic. Like, I don't know if we can trust him.
It seems weird that they would dedicate even any time to Christmas in that sort of event.
Oh, but they did. They definitely did. You mean they would dedicate all the time to Christmas, and then they would give like 5 minutes where they'd be like, oh, here is Hanukkah, and they would do 5 minutes where like, oh, here is Kwanzaa. And then for both, you would get like an activity, and they would do dreidel every year. And I'm sure we were not taught correctly because every year it felt like we were getting a different set of rules that were clearly just like photocopied out of like the holiday book in our school library. But then more recently, I played it with Steffi. So I feel like
I
have
just as boring as you thought.
I mean, pretty much. But now you're like drinking wine. So it's
that's true.
A lot more enjoyable. Hey,
and you know
an
what?
Adult.
It goes back to those old timey days in the bar. So, you know, it comes full circle.
Exactly.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much, Allegra, for talking about the history of dreidel and Hanukkah and everything and reminding us of that Rugrats episode, which really it has been too long since I've seen it.
It's very good.
Thank you to everyone at home. Thank you for all of the reviews that you guys have been posting on the Apple Podcasts page. We really appreciate that. Thank you for listening and spreading the word about the podcast. We really appreciate that as well. Definitely let folks know about it on Twitter, on Facebook, wherever you do your social various things. Spread the word. We always love to have new listeners and fun stuff like that. I should also mention we have one more episode for the season coming up. Next week, so next Monday, will be our final episode of the season, so definitely tune in for that. I think that pretty much is everything we wanted to touch on, right?
I think you forgot to Leap those dibs.
Oh. Well, I was going to do the actual ending now. And that's been an episode of History of Fun where we the hidden backstories of things you love. Uh-huh. And then I say, leap those dibs after that.
Okay.
So can I do that now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Thank you so much for watching. Listen. Thank you so much for listening to the History of Fun, where we explore the hidden backstories of the things you love.
Leap those dips.